What is up, fam? You are listening to The Music Buzz. My name is Lauren Brumley.
And my name is Justine Avila.
And we're here to bring you the music news over some brews.
We are. And today, we're brewing on some Little Harpeth Brewing Company, local, Chicken Scratch, which is an easy-to-drink American Pilsner. Goes down real smooth. And I just thought it was a fun beer to like have in the middle of winter. I'm kind of over the heavy beers.
Yeah, we love Little Harpeth too. Today we're just going to be covering some scandals and hot topics in music news. We have had a busy start to 2021, and that is actually putting it lightly. It has been action-packed.
It has. My favorite description of this year has been, it is December 62nd. of 2020.
Yeah, or like we got to the end of January and I saw a tweet that was like, what a year this January has been.
Accurate.
It's so true. So we're going to kick it off with some scandals. We have had a scandalous couple of weeks here to like kick off the end of January, beginning of February. First up, I feel like we should start with some good news, don't you think?
Good news that it's a perfect segue because it also hit when the bad news hit. Right. Same day. But let's start off on the good note. TJ Osborne.
Gentle TJ. So TJ Osborne of Brothers Osborne.
Yes. One of the brothers.
Yes. As being gay. A gay man.
And it was incredibly supportive. He is such a babe too. Love that for him.
He really is. In his voice. I mean.
Ugh. He has that like deep. What would you call it? A baritone?
Probably. I don't know what just happened to my voice. Probably.
You were thinking about TJ.
I was a little choked up there. Caroline Spence, who's an Americana artist in Nashville, she tweeted and she said, my sexuality remains the same. TJ Osborne's voice.
Exactly.
And I was like, same girl.
And you read the book. I thought it was really interesting kind of the way he decided to make this announcement because it wasn't a sit down interview on 60 Minutes or anything like that. It was an article with another gay author. And you read his book.
Yes. So Sam Lansky is a writer for Time Magazine. I think we talked about him on a previous episode when I was talking about probably one of his books that I was reading. He used to work for like MTV and several other publications, but he now works for Time. And it's kind of interesting because Sam has been off the radar for a couple of months. He like deleted his social media after his last book came out and was just kind of like going off the grid a little bit, I think. And so he just reactivated his Instagram shortly before this article came out. And so it was interesting that he kind of like made his comeback with this piece with TJ, which obviously if anyone's going to relate to him and be able to tell his story, it's someone who is coming from a similar place. So I thought that was really cool. And it was really well written, and it was like such a cool thing and a tough thing for a male country artist to do, but especially in his shoes where he's a part of a duo and that news doesn't just affect him, it affects his brother too.
Right.
So I felt like that was like a really bold and brave thing, and it was really cool to see his brother's support of him as well.
100%. And I feel like he described it a little bit in the article, but it must have been such a heavy burden to carry with him. And in one of the descriptions that kind of made me cry was him talking about 21 Summers. Mm-hmm. I think that was the song. And it was about a relationship he must have had, but he said that like people would always come up to him and talk to him about it, but they didn't know like the depth of understanding behind that behind that song. And he would get emotional when he would play it because obviously it's like nostalgia and brings back a lot of memories of someone, but he could never express that. And
that's so true.
I'm sure too, the article didn't go into it that much, but he said his close friends and family in the industry knew, but that must have been such added anxiety as well. He touched on it going into events. And then, you know, if he's dating someone, he's like, oh, can you wait in the car? Or you can't come to this event with me. So, I mean, what I took from it was, and I hope this is the case, that it doesn't impact their career in any manner other than like increasing like their fan base.
Yeah.
And I hope that if anyone else in the industry feels this way or thinks that they might be gay, then they could come out and say that as well without the repercussions, especially in country music.
Yeah, totally. And now he's the first openly gay man on a major record label, I believe, right, is what I read, which is like a huge deal for representation. Obviously, there are other, you know, gay country artists, but not at the scale that mm-hmm. they're at. And I think something interesting about doing it at this time is that they already have fans. And so, like, for me, I'm like hopeful that maybe someone who might not have been open-minded knowing that from the get-go, now that they like have this emotional attachment to them and they love them as a band and as people, maybe that might change some hearts and minds to be more open-minded about it, which is really cool.
Right. So I think, you know, time will tell for them too, but the response, and this was the part that really got me, I like screen recorded it, was all of the outpouring of support from everyone with the blue check mark,
yeah,
which was in the country music community, like the artists essentially. And I was like, wow. Cause a lot of people could stay silent about it.
Yeah.
And privately text him, but to publicly do that on his Instagram, I thought was pretty astounding.
Yeah, and especially a lot of the male country artists. I mean, all country, the country space in general it skews pretty conservative. And mm-hmm. so I think a lot of the, especially male country artists coming out and supporting him and being like, this is my friend, like, what a good man. I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. It's like, it's a really big deal. And it's also puts them at like a risk for criticism from their fan base too. And like to see them support him was really cool.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite posts too, just adding to that, was Dierks Bentley
mm-hmm.
posted on his own Instagram account a picture of him and TJ and just said, love you, dude, like have loved you from the start. And this is awesome. And I think to your point, that's a risk. Not only was he right. commenting, it was him posting to his fan base about this.
Yeah, the support was out of control. There were so many comments from so many different celebs. And I think it also just showed how many people truly respect them as artists and as people. And it was just nice to see.
Yeah, 100%.
So
I guess the flip side of that was some unfortunate news, which we also unfortunately talked about in a previous episode. And it is Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, this is unfortunately part of, I think, a throwback to when we did Hair of the Dog to make amends for the things that we said in a previous episode. This is our Hair of the Dog mini section of this, but Morgan Wallen was recorded outside his home by a neighbor, I believe, and the video was submitted to TMZ. He was highly intoxicated and was using the N-word and other slurs that are obviously inappropriate and inexcusable, and it kind of set the music industry on fire for the day. Every single social media platform was flooded with thoughts and opinions and news about this pretty quickly after that was released.
And it was released, I'm just trying to get the timeline straight, Lauren, on Tuesday evening, February 2nd, is when this video surfaced at night. So then overnight, the news broke to Wednesday morning.
Yeah. So pretty quickly after that, he was being removed from playlists on streaming platforms. He was being dropped from radio stations. He quickly after...
That was by the next morning.
Yeah. Like, this is within the day.
Correct.
He was removed from consideration for award shows.
Mm-hmm.
I think the CMAs specifically, and maybe the ACMs as well.
And then he was suspended from his label contract as well.
Right. Which is with Big Loud. And it's just a tough topic because I think especially, I mean, that language is never okay
mm-hmm.
and never acceptable, but especially within the last year that we've had with like the social climate being the way that it is, for you to still be using that word, as intoxicated as you may be, is insane. And obviously everyone was very quick to take action on it because...
Yeah, I mean, there's no way they could not respond.
Right.
You know, especially some of these companies, and I'm thinking of the DSPs that are public companies. There's no way you could not respond to that. And I will say, I was thinking about the silver lining in this. I think the silver lining overall is that there was swift action taken.
Which is not usual for country music.
Correct. And I was about to say, whether it's the right action or the wrong action, that's up for debate. And it's, I would argue has been the hottest topic in Nashville since it broke. I mean, that's all I've been hearing about since Tuesday. And I think, you know, in a, again, finding the silver lining, it sparked conversation in a space where traditionally there has been no conversation about it. And I think that that's a good thing. I'm very curious to see kind of the response when it does come from Wallen. I mean, you know, he issued an apology, which we talked about after the SNL ban when he was, well, it wasn't a ban. He was taken off the show and then added
and
again.
And then allowed to come back. Yeah.
Correct. And, you know, he issued an apology and, you know, it seemed like a heartfelt apology in terms of saying, you know, he needed to work on himself. And I'm curious at some point to hear from him about what he thinks and what he's going to do kind of moving forward, right? And, you know, if he is going to take action with it, because at some point, words are one thing, but actions speak louder. And it's more than just releasing a response statement.
100%. And I think a lot of people are upset that they haven't heard directly. Well, he did quickly release a statement saying that he was embarrassed and apologetic, but I think a lot of people, fairly so, are not taking that at face value because you've not thought about your actions that you from 24 hours ago. Like, you haven't had the time to truly learn from this experience. And like, I'm sure you are sorry and embarrassed because you're being canceled right now.
Right. And I think like, that's an important topic too, that we should talk about is it's, you know, the race issue aside, which aside is not the right word, but for all intents and purposes, if you take that piece out of it, there's this other piece of cancel culture where people are like, this is not an okay thing to do, no matter what you do, essentially, in life, minus probably murdering someone. But to cancel someone is just our swift action in society. And, you know, we even kind of talked about it on our Beyonce episode. It's like these armies of fans will go after someone. And in this case, I don't think Wallen's fans are going after anyone because it's him that essentially produce this result, but it's the rest of society, quote unquote, canceling Morgan Wallen. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it, Lauren, because it's been both sides of the Nashville kind of topic where people agree and disagree with it.
Yeah. I have a hard time with cancel culture because on one hand, you do have to give people a chance to change. Like, if somebody screws up, they don't get written off forever. They're still a human being that exists in the world, and you would hope for them that they had the opportunity to learn and change and move forward. But on the other hand, the only way to hold someone accountable is to take away the privilege that they're abusing. And the only way that you can, he is on such a high platform using his voice in such a way right now. If you don't take away that voice, then he's never going to like feel any repercussions of what he's doing. And that's what's happened with his past several snafus, if you want to call them. He's been in trouble for 24 hours and then he is back to normal and he's still allowed to do everything that he's doing. He's still number one on the charts.
For sure. And there has to be a way, because this was before social media, where you're not canceled, but you face repercussions.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that that is feasible in Morgan Wallen's situation, right? Where there are repercussions for his actions and he has to take time, because I think time is a big factor in this, to like actually learn and think about it and then have the opportunity to make amends and come back.
Yeah, but you don't get to just stay on the stage that you're on.
Correct.
And you should have opportunities taken away from you because that is your punishment for your actions. And that doesn't mean that you're canceled forever, but that right. means that you have to start from ground zero and earn it back.
Correct.
With your actions.
And that's what really in real life everyone has to do when you mess up. And it's,
well, but not everyone, and that's the problem,
right? But I mean, if we're going through it, right, essentially the SNL is a perfect example Again, not an apples to apples situation, but he was removed from the show and then allowed to come back with a skit. So it
like
was
several weeks later. I mean, correct. There was no,
it wasn't a year later, anything like that. It was, oh, let's give him a chance. So in a way, it was almost rewarding bad behavior because really the repercussions were 2 weeks out of his life.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it.
Losing one night of an opportunity, which, yeah, is a huge opportunity. But at the end of the day, is that really any sweat off his back?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
And I just couldn't stop thinking about, we're barely making waves in like creating a space in country music for people of color. It's very slowly happening, but like we're making these strides towards that. And I recently have been seeing Mickey Guyton, who is one of the very few Black women in the country music space. Well, mm-hmm. not one of the few, but one of the few that's kind of made the main stage of country music.
Right.
And she recently has been posting on her Twitter screenshots of comments on different news sites about her where country music fans are calling her the N-word. And it's like, she has to read that every single day. And how do you create a space in country music where people like Mickey, where Black men and women feel comfortable and welcome, and then still allow this other person with the platform who's using the same word that hurts her every day? Right. You know what I mean?
Right. And I mean, she's been very vocal about it in her response. And I think her response was very accurate in terms of saying she doesn't believe in cancel culture either, but she believes in repercussions for your actions. And oh, by the way, you should try being a Black artist in country music.
Yeah.
Because you do hear that very frequently. And I thought Jason Isbell also brought up a great point. He had tweeted, because Morgan Wallen famously covered one of his songs mm-hmm. that everyone really loves. And I think he originally had said he doesn't have a problem with a mainstream artist covering one of his songs. I mean, it's not the same fan base. Like the mainstream artist in country music, commercial country music, I should say. It's not the same fan base. It's fine. I mean, I'm sure their values are not the same, but he came out with a statement saying, you know, Wallen's behavior is disgusting and inexcusable, all of those things. But he said, look, if you're going to cancel him, there's a lot of slots with really incredible Black country music artists that could take those spots.
Yeah.
So that can be replaced and given the opportunity.
Right. That actually reminds me that there's an organization called Woman Nashville, and it stands for Women of Music Action Network.
Okay.
And they actually started a Twitter campaign this week being like, instead of like raising these dudes to the top who are like consistently making mistakes, why don't you support these Black artists who are working three times as hard and getting half as far? And why don't you go buy Mickey Guyton's album on iTunes? And it kind of went viral on like Nashville Twitter and then beyond. And Mickey's EP from last year is now at the top of the iTunes charts.
Oh, wow. That's pretty yeah. incredible. But look, I mean, the part that I have a difficult time reconciling, because your comment reminded me of this. When Wallen faced all those repercussions the next day, his record sales shot up in astounding numbers. Like, his album and his songs, his most recent album, Dangerous, were top of the iTunes charts for all genres. And the same with his EP. So then you have Guyton on the other side of that. And there's got to be a way, I think, for both to have a conversation, but also for Wallen to address his fans. Like, in a weird way, I understand that they're supporting him. And they're essentially, I don't know if they're supporting him using that language. Like, I'm not going to pretend to know their motive. But
they are. They're on all the comments of all the posts being like, oh, well, rappers use it in songs. Why can't he say it?
There you go.
Yeah.
But I would like to think maybe they're not supporting cancel culture as well. And I'm talking about this because of like people aggregating online and supporting something. I'm thinking of like GameStop right now, but equating yeah. it to the music industry. And it's, you know, it's disheartening in one sense because, again, not knowing their motive. But if that is their motive to support someone saying this word, then I don't agree with that at all. But if it is saying, okay, don't cancel him, like we're still here, I think that's another message. And you could equally support Mickey Guyton, if that makes sense. But again, it's still, are you rewarding bad behavior by essentially increasing his sales number?
Yeah, of course you are. Because yeah. What that's telling him is I can be successful no matter what.
Right.
I will say, because of the swift actions of Radio and of his label and of everyone else.
Essentially all the partners.
All the partners. Like, when it comes time for him to go on tour, no one is going to want to be like, hey, come open on my world tour. Because they don't want that, like, negative scrutiny on them. And they don't want to send a message that they support that. So he's going to have a hard time when it comes to that. And I'm... Also, his label hasn't dropped him. They've suspended him indefinitely, which that means he'll be back in probably a month.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens, for sure.
Well, look, trying to find the silver lining in it, I think he has a massive opportunity to turn, not only, again, career aside, he has a massive opportunity to have a conversation about race, about country music, about everything. He could be a leader if he's willing to do that. But
he could.
I mean, truly,
I would
right?
love to see that. I have my doubts.
I know. You're giving
me... But that's the hope. That's
the like,
hope.
Right. He truly, this is like kind of make or break moments in artist careers. And I'm rambling. But when this happened, my immediate thought was, oh man, this is like Justin Bieber all over again. Like, Justin Bieber was caught on film, maybe not saying racial slurs, but caught peeing and giving the middle finger to the president, all of those things. And it was an opportunity for him to own his mistakes. And he came back with a hell of a record. Now, again, not apples to apples, but I think that there's an opportunity, and that's my only point.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what
you
happens.
Don't think that there's an opportunity, or
no, I think there's an opportunity. I think
you don't think he's gonna take it in the right way.
No, I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be proven wrong on that. I will say that NAACP and I think BB Winans, who might be involved with the organization, have reached out to him being like, we will gladly like have a conversation with you to explain the history behind this word and why it's so hurtful, since you clearly don't understand, in a very like nice way. And I thought that was kind of cool for them to be like, we will educate you since clearly you're not
but
educated on this.
I mean, that's pretty incredible and probably speaks volumes to that organization and BB Winans.
Yeah.
Like,
I would love to see him actually have conversations with them and truly come back with like, first of all, I think there are some substance abuse issues there that he needs to take care of. That's like very apparent through several of the situations
we've discussed.
Everything
that's really happened since the SNL performance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just been a motif, if you will.
Yeah. So I would love to see him deal with that, have some conversations with people to educate himself, and then come back and, like you were saying, be a voice to educate his fans who might be kind of on that same path that he was on. So
right.
That's what we can hope for, but that's the drama that's going on in Nashville right now. So in other scandal news, we have another negative story, and that is the news about Marilyn Manson, which has been making its rounds over the last week. Evan Rachel Wood, who used to be in a relationship with Marilyn Manson, I can't remember if they were married or just together, she came out and said that she, through the entirety of their relationship, was abused by Marilyn. And which also, the name Marilyn just makes me think of an old woman. Is that just me?
No, it does for me too. And I like didn't really understand the story. Like, I knew there were allegations against him, but she wasn't the only one, right? It was,
well,
Phoebe Bridgers.
So Evan Rachel Wood came out and said that she was abused throughout their relationship, and that they met when she was a teenager and he groomed her. So that news came out first. Following that, Phoebe Bridgers on Twitter, she put out a statement that she, back in high school, went to a party at Marilyn Manson's house, which is so bizarre to me.
Obviously, like, of course she does.
Right. Like, of course she would find her way to Marilyn Manson's house. And she went to a party at his house and was informed of a rape room, which I don't know what that is and I don't want to know, but she heard people referring to it, knew that it was a thing, and didn't see it, but it was like a common understood thing that it existed. So she came out telling that story and basically saying that she stands behind anyone who's come forward with their stories against Marilyn, and she supports them. It's kind of crazy because we haven't really heard anything about Marilyn Manson in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like this new wave of allegations against him, and it may be one of those things that, like, it's a well-known thing, but I'm just thinking of it in terms of the Nashville bubble, like some things we know here and it takes years for it to come to mainstream media.
Yeah.
This may be something similar. But I was just thinking, like, Phoebe Bridgers has had some pretty terrible experiences if that's the case.
Right. Because after the whole like Ryan Adams mm-hmm. thing as well.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that probably lends her to being a little extra sympathetic to, or empathetic, I guess I should say, to Evan Rachel's story, kind of having gone through a similar situation. And it's kind of nice for her to be able to be in a spot where she is like coming forward and supporting the woman that's saying these things, because she has been that woman before, speaking about like a man in the industry who's like very well known and probably protected by a lot of people. So it's kind of crazy. I'm like hoping that Evan Rachel Wood has like gotten all of the like therapy and help that she needs to move forward from that situation, but good for her for coming forward.
Yeah, 100%. And I read too that Marilyn was dropped from his label, and I think management, and he should be facing harsh repercussions because that behavior is inexcusable.
It's disgusting.
Yes. You know, I put it in the same category as R. Kelly. So I yeah. hope if those allegations are true that he faces justice. If they're not, then I hope he can fend for himself and prove that it's not true. But it seems like with everyone coming forward, unfortunately, that it is true.
Well, since we've talked about some dark stuff, let's take a turn into the lighter side of things. And we're going to talk about some viral music moments from the past several weeks. So since we recorded our last episode, Olivia Rodrigo's driver's license has taken over the globe.
Which, Lo, you're going to have to break it down for me. I don't really understand it other than someone was like, the song is blowing up, and before I knew it, it was on the top of all the charts for all of the streaming services, and I thought it was a good song, but I didn't quite understand why, because it wasn't necessarily revolutionary, and apparently there's quite the backstory.
Yeah, so I would say if you're above the age of 25, you're probably like, who? And we're right Accurate. There with you. So the day that the song came out, our friend Jake texted me and told me to put this song on my playlist to check it out and listen to it. I was like, okay, cool. I had no idea who Olivia Rodrigo was, but I listened to the song. I liked it. I was like, this is good. Like, I would listen to this again on purpose. Love it. Little did I know by the end of the day, it was going to be like the biggest song in the globe, only to grow even more in the next following weeks. For those of you who don't know, Olivia Rodrigo is an actress on the Disney Channel. She is on the show High School. Well, not the Disney Channel. She is an actress on a Disney Plus show called High School Musical, The Musical, The Series, which is quite a mouthful.
I don't even understand what you're saying. Like, I'm probably going to have to process that. All I know is that I watched High School Musical with Zac Efron.
Right. So it is a play on that musical that we all know and love from our youths. So it's like if a high school IRL watched High School Musical on the Disney Channel and decided to turn that musical into their school's musical play. So it's kind of like this meta show where they're like on Disney Plus, but it's a world where they have seen this movie on the Disney Channel. Does that make sense?
It does, but it just sounds weird.
It's very meta.
Okay.
So the stars are Olivia Rodrigo and Joshua Bassett, who supposedly also dated in real life. They're like 16, 17, something like that. And the reason that Driver's License blew up so much is because Olivia already had like a pretty solid fan base on social media because people loved her from the show. She was like putting out little covers, like singing on her Instagram, like sharing some of her original songs. So people already loved her and knew about her relationship with Joshua Bassett, because that's like the J14 news of like Gen Z. So when this song came out and it was very clearly about her breakup with Joshua Bassett, everyone freaked out and like they were pulling the receipts, because the song is about when she went to get her driver's license and her, back in the day, she had posted something that she had like gone with Josh to get her driver's license or something like that. So it was very clearly about him. So then the drama is that her and Joshua broke up and Joshua started dating Sabrina Carpenter, who is also from the Disney Channel. She was on a show called Girl Meets World, which was a remake of Boy Meets World, and went on from that show to become a pop artist. A fairly successful one. She was doing like Jingle Ball a couple of years ago. Like, she's made the rounds. So, and her music is really good. Like, legitimately, the first time I was in the Starbucks in the Nashville airport, and there was a song playing overhead, and I was like, this is so good. What is this? And I Shazammed it. It was Sabrina Carpenter, and I was like, the girl from Girl Meets World? Is this a joke? And now I stan her. But anyway, she's a great artist. So he started dating her. And so in the song, Olivia Rodrigo in Driver's License is sort of referencing that he's now with Sabrina Carpenter. And so everyone was just latching on to the story behind it and being like, we support Olivia and it's a bop and we know the story behind it. So then it blew up on TikTok, which I'm sure you've seen the TikTok videos.
Well, so that was my question, because I really don't understand much of what you're saying, but my sister was like, oh, have you heard this song? It's everywhere on TikTok. And she knew like the sub story of it. So I guess that's my question. So this happened and then everyone on TikTok was commenting, because it's not like your typical TikTok where you do a duet or a dance.
Right. So I think it was like a perfect storm of the fact that people immediately went to TikTok to share the receipts of why the song was about this story. And I mean, that's like the perfect age group. It's all Gen Zers. So that's their perfect like drama situation. And it goes back, it makes me think of like the Taylor Swift situation, when like you knew who she was talking about in a specific song. And it's like you listen to All Too Well and you see the photo of Jake.
Right.
Gyllenhaal wearing the scarf, like it all
magically
just comes
resurfaces
and you feel like your world has been rocked. That is what happened with this situation for the Gen Zers. So they were making TikToks of like, here's the proof of why it's about her. But then people were like singing along to the song or doing a duet with the song. And then it spun off into all these different trends based off of the song. So it's just like perpetuated for weeks and weeks and weeks being popular on TikTok.
Got it. So is this show popular on Disney Plus? Like, does it have a built-in audience because they were like so keenly aware of the story and all the characters?
I guess so. I mean, we are obviously far past the age group for this show, but we even have friends who watched the show and like told me to watch it.
Right.
You know, so it made its way. I think it came out at the perfect time in quarantine, kind of at the beginning of things.
Right.
Where everyone was so desperate for content to watch that people watched it, and supposedly it was good and the music from the show was good. So
cool.
I guess so.
Huh.
But the song is absolutely huge.
It is. I mean, and kudos to Disney for, they're still cranking out the stars. I mean,
yeah.
Back in the day, I remember Mickey Mouse Club, which was Britney Spears, JT, Christina Aguilera, like everyone came from Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, Disney has been like cranking out the stars since our youth. Legit. Literally. But then Taylor Swift came out in support of Olivia Rodrigo. And
well, and she had posted like Taylor Swift is one of her biggest inspirations, right?
Yeah, she was a very big Swiftie. She'll always like post video, like Instagram stories in her car singing Taylor Swift songs. So she was very clearly a fan. And Taylor actually quoted that meme of her mom where she's like, I say that's my baby and I'm so proud. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
There's like a meme. It's from some interview and her mom says, I say that's my baby and I'm so proud. And she literally quoted that to Olivia, which I thought was really funny.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I don't know. Keep your eyes peeled for Olivia Rodrigo. She's huge right now. And that song is massive.
I love it. Good for her. Go get it, girl.
Go get it, girl. Way to be, Disney.
Lowe, so we're recording on Super Bowl Sunday weekend. It is the day before, but the Super Bowl is arguably one of the biggest performances in an artist's career. Everyone vies for that spot. It is the Pepsi halftime show, and it is going to be hella different this year. The Weeknd won't be performing on a stage on the field, which is usually tradition. He'll be in the stands to, I guess, avoid contact and having to have a bunch of people move in one area, a stage in, and move it out. And the players can stay safe down there. And I've been reading about COVID protocol, which seems to be above and beyond, as would be expected for a show. Yeah, of this magnitude.
That's a big operation.
Oh, 100%. I think I had read that they cut down the show hands, quote unquote, to about 1,000 people. And usually they have something up to like 5,000.
Yeah. So when you say hands, it's like the people moving the equipment. Like
exactly. And they're in like weeks before prepping to make sure everything's in order and good to go. It is all of this for a 12-minute performance.
I always forget how short it is.
It and
in my mind, it's like 30 minutes.
Oh, me too. But it's just so much happening in those 12 minutes. And don't forget, the artists usually do like a medley of their hits. But that's all to say, the article in the New York Times was saying like they're in essentially at this hotel quarantining. They've been getting tested every 48 hours. And then leading up to the show, if they have direct interaction with the artists, they'll then have to be tested every day. So they've been being tested every day up to 5 days before. Then they'll get a wristband so that security personnel knows that they're clear for that day. And it's a different color on each day.
It sounds really well organized. I'm impressed.
It's super fascinating. But I'm super curious to see what this performance looks like. Because, you know, The Weeknd's already done kind of the traditional things that you do, which is you have a new record out. Yes, he did that this year. He announced a tour this week for 2022, so he's done that. Usually there's a new song that peaks up in and around this area, so I'm going to be on the lookout maybe after or something like that.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll drop a new single from the record or something.
Exactly. I think, too, there's been like some brand stuff that happens, like Justin Timberlake, when he performed, was wearing his new Nikes that were like the collab Man of the Woods Nikes. So I'm super curious to see that and just curious to see how it plays out in the stands, because they've been talking about the extra cost, which it's like millions upon millions of dollars to do a performance, but to do it right. And then, you know, that's going to be compared to Gaga, who flew in from the top of the stadium, and then you had Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. Everyone was like, you know, does Jennifer Lopez age? You had Katy Perry on top of this like gold lion type of thing. So I'm super curious to see how they make it entertaining in the stands.
Yeah, I'm curious too how they'll use the space, because when they're in the middle of the field, they have so much room to work with, and they'll usually have like a bunch of audience members out there, like a bunch of fans out there, or like dancers or different things that they can use in the space. So I'm curious to see how they'll use that when it's kind of like vertical instead of a flat area.
Exactly.
And I wonder if they'll be able to do something interesting with that. Who knows? I'm interested to see how they'll use it. And honestly, it is kind of smart that they have a way to move them in and out so quickly without affecting the field. It almost seems like they would be able to do a longer performance, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how the TV rights to that also work.
Yeah, that's
as
true.
Well. But on another note, you know, The Weeknd's material is like dark and brooding, and
it's
is
not
usually
very family friendly.
No, it's kind of R-rated, but he was quoted in an interview saying he was going to keep it PG, and I'm sure it'll be more of the friendlier songs, not probably the sexual songs, since you know, grandma and grandpa will be watching, as will 5-year-old little Tommy.
Yeah, we're not getting Wicked Games. Like, we're probably getting the Blinding Lights.
Correct.
Vibes, for sure. Maybe Starboy? Even that's vulgar.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That's the F word in the, like, hook.
Right. So, very curious, because he's a very sensual artist.
Yeah, and he doesn't have as many albums, I feel like, as the artists usually do that are performing mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl. Usually it's artists that have been around for probably 15 plus more years than The Weeknd's right. been around, which he's been around for a long time at this point, but not with like major, he was underground for such a long time. It's not like exactly. he had these major records. So it's not a lot of songs that necessarily the general public would know. So I am curious. I wonder if he'll bring out a guest.
We'll see. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. What if he brought out Drake?
I would die.
I would pass away.
I would die.
My soul would ascend into heaven.
I would die.
Seriously. Okay, well, I'm excited to see once this episode comes out, it'll be past the Super Bowl, so we'll be able to give you an update on the next one.
Yeah.
In other television news, last night I watched the New York Times documentary called Framing Britney Spears. This is part of the same documentary series that we watched the Dominic Fike documentary in.
On Hulu.
Yeah, it's like mm-hmm. Hulu FX, or like FX on Hulu, vice versa. And so the documentary was going through kind of like how the media affected Britney Spears' life and led her to the place she is now. So they kind of started at the beginning of her career, went through like all the tumultuous period of like the height of the paparazzi swarming her and the shaved head and the bat to the car windows, all the way through the Las Vegas series up to now. And really the whole story is leading to the end where they're talking about her conservatorship, which for anyone who doesn't know, Britney Spears several years ago, I don't know how many years at this point, signed over decision-making rights to her dad, because during a point where she was having a mental breakdown, her team and the people around her felt like she was unfit to make decisions.
And is this the same breakdown that we saw happen very publicly? I can't remember the year, but she like shaved her head. She was, I think, beating up a paparazzi car. She was like walking in the gas station, maybe without shoes. It was all of these weird things.
That was like the beginning of the decline, but the conservatorship thing actually happened quite a bit further down the road.
Huh. Okay.
And because they talked about during that whole time, she was dating this guy who was like her quote unquote manager, who they claimed in the documentary was keeping her drugged and like making her make bad decisions. It was very interesting. I didn't really know that much about this guy. And like, I'm pretty in tune with like Britney's like life and who she's dated and been married to and everything. And I was like, I don't really remember this guy. So that was kind of a crazy part. But it was much later. And then what's so crazy is like her whole Vegas residency happened after her dad was in control of her like financial decisions. So she was literally raking in cash money during that Vegas residency.
Did you see her in Vegas?
I didn't.
Okay. You saw someone else.
I saw J-Lo.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I wish I saw Britney, though I hear she was a little not fully
she wasn't
there.
Present. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just really sad because it really like showed how poorly she was treated by the media. And I saw a tweet that like described it so perfectly well, where they were like, the media forced her into the sex symbol role when she was like 16 years old.
Right.
And didn't allow her to be anything else, even when she was just being herself and not being sexual, not trying to be sexy or anything. She was shoved into that category. And then after they forced her into this role, later shamed her for being that, and then like slut shamed her and stuff. And they talked a lot about her relationship with Justin Timberlake, which was a very public thing that she said that she was a virgin while they were dating. And then after they broke up, Justin Timberlake was telling all these news sources on like radio shows and stuff that they did have sex and was bragging about it. Later said that she had cheated on him.
Yeah. Well, but in the cheating part too, was the whole Cry Me a River video where he's like sitting on the bed with the Britney Spears lookalike.
Yeah.
And insinuating that she cheated.
Yeah. And Britney's team was like, in this documentary, they were like, that was such a manipulation of the truth. He knew that he was damaging her, not only her emotional health, but her perception in the media. Mm-hmm. And that like absolutely crushed her. Basically, they were saying that like Justin used that breakup to like propel his own career forward by any means necessary, and was not telling the truth and used that as like a like chess piece to like move forward in the music industry, which crushed her. They showed an interview of her with Diane Sawyer, which was horrific to watch. Diane Sawyer was like, Justin Timberlake said that you broke him. What did you do to him, Britney?
Oh, wow.
She was being cruel. She was slut shaming her. Britney was literally in tears by the end of the interview. Literally, if you search on your phone right now, like Britney crying, the GIF that pops up is from that interview. It's
wow,
horrible. And that interview would never fly today. And it truly made me hate Diane Sawyer. I want to punch her in the face.
Man, that's sad. It's so sad. It just makes me sad overall.
So what's even sadder now is that Britney really is like closed off from communication with everyone. And because she's under such tight control and all of her decisions are not really her own, she's really kept under tight wraps. She doesn't have a lot of communication with outside people. She doesn't get to see a lot of outside people. And that has led to the Free Britney movement, which is basically a group of people who believe that Britney is like being kind of held against her will and not able to do the things that she wants to do, and kind of like being forced to stay at home and forced to probably be medicated. And she's just like not able to be a human being. And there are all of these like signs on her social media. Her Instagram, if you've ever looked at it, is very strange. And you could very easily see how people would think that there are messages she's trying to send. Like, for example, she'll post these like random photos that she has not even taken, just like random photos she finds online, paired with a very strange caption that has nothing to do with the photo. And you're like, what are you trying to say here? With like weird punctuation and like certain numbers of like exclamation points or like weird emojis. And people on like one video were like, Britney, if you're being held captive, like if you need help, wear a yellow shirt on your next post. And then the next post she shares is her wearing a yellow shirt. And her caption is like, I love the color yellow. Yellow is the best, with like several yellow heart emojis. And it's like, it's kind of spooky. You're like, are you okay?
But here's a weird question. Does she have control of her social media accounts? Like, because is that like some weird back end of her team leaning into like all of the like theories about her to perpetuate her own career in a weird way? I know that that sounds like a conspiracy theory, but
no, because if they were, her social media would not be what it is, because it's very bizarre. And I think that she definitely, they're monitoring it for sure. But I think that's like the one thing she does have control over. And she doesn't post much. Like, she doesn't post anything personal. It's like her dancing, her standing in her backyard, like twirling around in a top. Like, it's nothing that from her team's perspective they should be worried about, which is why people are like, are you trying to send these messages subliminally so that they don't know that that's what you're trying to do?
Right. But the team has to see that. I don't know. I'm just like,
her comments, if you look at any Instagram post, all of the comments are like, Britney, are you okay? Britney, we love you. Britney, our queen. If you're not okay, like, you know, share this emoji or whatever. Like, that's, surely she has to see it and her team has to see it.
Right.
But right now she's in a legal battle to get her rights back. And one of the lawyers who works on the conservatorship side of things in the documentary was talking about how she has worked on several of these kinds of cases where someone is just incapacitated to the point where they are not able to make decisions on their own. Who, she's dealt with several of those cases, and she said, I've never once seen someone overturn that, because it's hard to be like, yeah, I sign off that this person can make my decisions because I'm not like fit to, and then come back and be like, oh, well, I am now. It's like, how do you prove that? You know?
Right. And probably all of her behavior with the videos doesn't help that case at all.
Right.
I would assume.
So then part of the thing too, which I've heard online, not in the documentary, but like they were trying to like change her conservatorship to where like Jamie Lynn, her sister, was in control, or someone that she trusted more because she does not have a good relationship with her dad. That's like a very well-known thing. She's like come out and said that he's been abusive towards her sons and things like that. So they were, I think, in talks about maybe putting someone else in power because she didn't trust him. So it's just a messy situation, but I highly recommend watching the documentary. Mm. It's really interesting. And I think like tells an important story about how poorly she was treated by the media, and the way that she was treated has like changed things into what they are now. Like, we don't treat people that way anymore because of what's happened to her. Right. I think
it's like the consequences essentially of her psychological well-being, yeah, and rise to fame have changed everything.
Yeah. And she clearly was dealing with some mental health issues during all the tough points of her career. And we didn't talk about mental health then the way that we do now. So everyone instead called her crazy and poked fun at her. Whereas now it would be a totally different conversation, but it's just really sad. And I want nothing but the best for Britney. I am personally a Free Britney activist, and I support. Kind of the last current thing that I feel like we should touch on is the app that is taking the world by storm right now, which is Clubhouse.
You're going to have to break this down for me because I'm like, I'm literally a grandma. I try to be in bed by 9. Like, I am not up on social media. And one of my friends invited me to it, and I've yet to sign up for it. But all I know is that it sounds like chat roulette, but audio only.
So it is audio only, but it's not like chat roulette.
You're not dropping in.
You are dropping in, but it's not necessarily random people. So it's an audio only platform where it's almost like a live podcast, but you can jump in on the discussion. So once you sign up, you can like follow your friends, you can follow like public figures, and you can follow different topics. So then on your main feed, there are these different discussion rooms. So anybody can start a discussion room. You could be like, I want to talk about the Framing Britney Spears New York Times documentary, and start a discussion room on that. And you could make yourself the moderator, and then anyone could see that group and join. So you could pop in, and then the moderator then decides like who can speak at any time.
Okay.
So there's a couple different sections of it. So there's like on stage, which means you have the opportunity to unmute yourself and speak. And then there's just listening at the bottom. So you can just pop in any room and just listen and never speak and not have the pressure to speak if you don't want to. But you can like raise your hand and the moderator can move you to the stage so that you can speak on different topics.
Wow. Okay.
But it's cool because there's literally topics for anything you could think of, like any micro genre of things you're interested in. Like, there's a section of Clubhouse for it.
Well, I'm super curious about it, and it's not related to music, but when the whole GameStop stock saga was happening, it was like Elon Musk was getting on Clubhouse to like chat with people about it and like encourage them to essentially to continue buying. But I thought that was cool. It was like 12 p.m. or 1 a.m. and like Elon Musk just drops in.
That's what's so cool about it too, is you can have a room with just your friends where you're like shooting the shit for lack of a better term. But you can also jump in these rooms with like all these random celebrities. Like, there's this one group. This one moderator runs a group called like Dinner Party every week, and it's like around dinner time, and all these celebs join it. And that was going on like the first day I signed up. In the room, it was like Paris Hilton, Terry Crews, Damon from Shark Tank, like all these random celebrities. You're like, I would never put you guys in a group together. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're all just talking, chit chatting.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Is it insightful? Like, do you learn things, or is it like, because I'm thinking too, I guess, to the Morgan Wallen scandal, and apparently wasn't a part of it, but a lot of people in Nashville like got on Clubhouse to discuss his behavior.
So I actually jumped in on that group the night that it happened, and it was like a lot of industry people as well as artists jumping in to just like kind of have a discussion about it. And it is insightful because you like, it's almost like something happens and you jump on like a FaceTime with like several of your friends,
right?
It's almost like that, but you're almost just listening in on like a call you wish you would be a part of, but you never would be. You know,
so is it too, like, do you feel like it's a safe space? Because I think it was probably in the Morgan Wallen vein, but heard that like reporters are in the room
for sure
trying to like hear what the take is.
There are guidelines, like you cannot record anything within the app. If you do, they'll kick you out. Like even if you try to start like screen recording, the app will like give you a notification, like if you do this again, you're
so the app
there's rules
knows when you try to do stuff like that.
I think so. That's okay. What I've been told, but it's also like common courtesy rules too, where like if you're seen posting anything from those chats, like you're probably going to be kicked off the app. Right. And the app is still in beta, so they're still like testing it all out and figuring a lot of things out. But it's kind of like the honor system. Like you're not supposed to take anything out of those rooms.
Right.
That's, you know, a private conversation. But some of them are really insightful. Like I've joined in groups about like travel tips, social media tips, like how to use TikTok for business, how to grow your podcast. Mm. And there's like all these experts, and people will have like their socials linked, but also have like a little bio. So once you're like, you can see who's talking in this room and like click on their photo and it'll be like, this is the host of so-and-so podcast, or like,
oh, cool,
this is the CEO of so-and-so company. So you know who's talking and like why, like where they're coming from.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
With things. It's super interesting. I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about it over the next year or so. And I'm interested to see like the longevity of it all. But what I thought was interesting is I'm starting to see that artists now, when they'll have like their upcoming events calendars, like it's like a Zoom performance at so-and-so time, like a Instagram takeover at this time, a Clubhouse chat room at so-and-so time.
Oh, that's cool.
It's starting to be like a meet us here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So it's like really gaining traction. It's not like kind of one of these slow build things.
Yeah. It's an invite only app. Like you were saying, you got an invite. Right now it's invite only. And I think over the last week, they've been like pushing it out hard. Where like, once you sign up, you get like two invites. So you can invite two of your contacts, but they've been giving out more invites. So they're kind of slowly scaling it out, I think, as they're growing the bandwidth. So
that's super cool. I want to check it out.
Def should. To wrap things up, we're going to cover our personal currents, which we didn't get to do last episode because we talked for 100 years about Beyonce's Lemonade, and we didn't want to bore you for 15 more minutes. But anyway, Justine, what are your personal currents?
Man, so Lo, I have a confession. I've been super bad about reading lately, and I'm like a super nerd reader. I like pride myself on reading, and I've just been bad about it. I am still on the John Lewis book, which is not to say anything about the book. It's just I don't know what I've been doing. Not reading.
Well, and it's also books like that can be so tough to like binge read. Sometimes you have to be in the right mindset to read something that like cerebral.
Exactly. And I mentioned this on a previous episode, but it reads like a textbook almost. So I get through maybe like 10 pages a night.
Yeah.
And I'm cranking through it. And those are on the nights that I'm reading, not watching a show or something like that. So that's what I'm currently reading. What I'm currently listening to is Hayley Williams actually has a few solo projects out. And I listened to her new song, Trigger, which is on Flowers for Vases, that she just released. And it's really cool. It's really interesting. Doesn't sound like a Paramore song. I'd listened to one of her other songs on a solo project and kind of sounded like a Paramore song
from her like last EP that she released.
Yes. And that was Petals for Armor. Mm-hmm. And one of them, I was like, oh, this is a cool song. Sounds like a Paramore song though. This one, Trigger, did not. And it was kind of dark and I really liked it.
Love that.
I'm excited to like dive in. And also I know I could only pick one, but I'm going to pick two. My boy, I know he's a band, Lainey, just released like acoustic versions of Mama's Boy, and I'm here for it.
The stripped
I love
version
it.
Of Sad is so good.
So good. And I still talk to Jesus. It's literally like a knife through the heart. So that's what I'm listening to. And then what I'm watching, not a show, but it's a two-part series which is the Tiger Woods documentary. Ooh. It's really fascinating, but is a little similar to the what you were describing with the Britney Spears documentary, because Tiger Woods is never interviewed. It's all of these people around him and not his immediate team. So it paints an interesting picture of him and a bit of like this tension with his dad and all of that. And then the second part, which I haven't gotten to yet, is like kind of the spiral, the downward spiral, and I'm assuming the redemption.
Okay, that sounds good. What is it on?
It is on HBO. Okay, and it's called Tiger. So look it up. It's great. Cool. A little weird on the perspective, because you don't get anyone immediate and close to him. So it kind of reminds me, and again, not the best comparison, but like of all of those series where there's scandals and they never like get to interview anyone close, like they did with like the Michael Jackson documentary. It was like never his team was interviewed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
All right. So hit me with yours. What are you listening to? What are you reading? Like, hit me with all the good stuff. Cause I know you're like, I feel like you always have new ones, cause you just
tank
through great content.
I just have no life is really
the summary of that. I also don't. I'm just outside with my dog most of the time.
That's fair. Well, I just finished reading Colin Jost's book, A Very Punchable Face. Colin Jost from SNL, Weekend Update.
Didn't know he had a book.
Yeah.
Also Scarlett Johansson's husband.
Yeah, very important. Fiance.
Oh, I thought they were married.
Maybe they are married now. Maybe not when the book came out.
I thought that they were married. And he had to roast her on Weekend Update, which was so funny because he couldn't keep a straight face.
Yeah, the book was really funny. I would have never read it, but I heard some people recommend it, saying it was very good. And it was. It was a super quick read. And I liked hearing about the behind the scenes of the SNL stuff.
Oh,
that
cool.
was super interesting to me. And just like being, because he was a head writer for so many years. And that's like a very interesting perspective. Different than like the cast members I've read several, you know, pieces from them about their experiences on the show, but it was cool to hear like from the writer's perspective. So that was interesting. And then I'm currently reading A Promised Land by Barack Obama.
Barry.
And I'm having a similar situation to you. It's just a slow burn. It's taking me so long to read because it's so dry, and it's like, it is interesting, but I have to be in the right kind of mindset to read it.
Yeah. And I mean, we talked about this, but he wrote it. He didn't have a ghostwriter on it.
Yeah,
and
for
he's
sure.
Obviously been quoted as like this hyper intellectual. So I don't see him like glossing over anything.
Oh no. And already I'm like reading through and I'm like, Barry, this is good, but you could have shaved off 37 pages so far if you just left out some of these details. I don't need to know what your assistant said like at this specific time. I don't need to know that.
He's also, for the record, he's also a lawyer. So like by nature, he's very wordy.
Very detail oriented. And
right.
I appreciate that about him, but like, let's edit a
little bit. Clearly his daughters like didn't get to edit his copy.
Well, but I'm also in the part like where he just got elected president. So I'm sure it's going to get like a little more fast paced, but up until now, it's just been a lot of like policy and I'm sure it'll be a lot more policy, but it's just been a lot of like budgeting and campaigning and all that stuff, which is interesting, but it's just very factual. So making my way through that. I also just like a hack for anyone who uses digital ebooks from the library. If you read on a Kindle, if you turn your Kindle on airplane mode, it doesn't get rid of your library pulled after your loan is up. So since this book has taken me 100 years to read, I had to turn my Kindle on airplane mode so that it doesn't go away. Because if I like lose the copy of this book and have to wait however many more weeks to like borrow it again, I'm never reading it.
Wait,
so,
but don't they have like, it's literally like a borrow. So it's digital. So don't they know that you still have the copy?
No. Nope.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you just hacked the library.
Yeah. It's a digital copy. Like, who cares? That's what's so crazy to me is like, how does the library say they have 10 copies
of a
digital book? Like, you have a jillion if you want a jillion, you know?
Admittedly, I'm still not on digital yet. I did try it And I've heard people love their Kindle. I tried a book on my iPad. Mm-hmm. Didn't necessarily love it because I like got the same watery eyes that I get after a day of work of just staring at the screen. So I was like, this is not for me, dog. But maybe no, I'll...
Kindle is a game changer because it's not... It's like if you get the paper white one, it's the same experience as if you're reading like an actual page. And it's just like gently backlit and it's a magical experience.
I love
it. And I'm like such an ADD reader. I like to look at like... It tells you the percentage... Of
like how far you are.
And, like,
yeah.
It'll tell you how many minutes are left in each chapter and how many minutes are left in the book based on your reading speed.
Wow.
Yeah. It's iconic.
That's efficient.
It is. And when your Kindle is not on airplane mode, you can highlight words and it looks them up in the dictionary for you.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Anywho, I'm currently watching Sex and the City because I don't know if y'all heard, but we're getting a reboot. And
wait, there's a movie, right? It's another movie coming out? Or are you talking about...
No, it's a show.
With the same characters?
Yeah, girl, where have you been?
Under a rock, apparently. Everybody? I don't know. I don't know what you've talked about for half of this episode.
Girl, this is why you have me. I'm here to tell you about what's cool. So, everyone... It's like all this drama because everyone except for Kim Cattrall is coming back. Because Kim Cattrall has drama with SJP. They don't get along.
Well,
Sarah
that,
Parker.
But that drama is old drama because that was like when
but
the
that's
show.
That's why she's
okay.
not coming back is because of the drama.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. It's still at one point surrounding pay. And I think if memory serves me correctly, Sarah Jessica Parker was able to like work out a deal where she kept her wardrobe and like they would feature like Valentino and like all of these designers so she would get all of these amazing free clothes that obviously fit her because they were tailored for her in the show.
Yeah, I feel like it's like that carried on,
okay,
like carried forward and then carried forward, but
see what you did there.
But I guess like Kim Cattrall, I don't know if she was asked back to do the show or if she said no, but like she's not in it, so that's like all this drama. People are like, it's not really Sex and the City without Samantha.
Right.
But I've never seen past like season four.
Oh.
And I've never seen the two movies. I've seen like clips of them.
Wow. I've seen something you haven't.
I know. Like
I went on a binge in college. Admittedly, like I think I got strep throat and then it kicked it off. And that just was, I never went back. And then it was like, this is how old school it was. It was like you had the box series and one of my friends had all of them. So I was just like, it was like the library. I would give season one and I'd be like, cool, I'm taking season two. And then like return them back. And I went through all of them.
What a weird time that was. Like, can you believe we existed in that kind of world?
I mean, that's how I binged.
Yeah.
Was like the diss.
Yeah. Well, same situation for me. I had never seen it until I was like in my like early 20s. And on Black Friday, they had like one of the seasons on sale at Target for like $10. And so I was like, oh, I'm just going to buy it and like binge the season. And so I watched like the first three or four by like buying the seasons for like super cheap.
But it's super weird too, like going through that experience. And I don't know where it switches in the series, but like at the beginning, Sarah Jessica Parker like addresses the camera and then she stops. And it's just interesting to see the progression of the show happen that way.
Yeah, well, and they have like random people like that they interview on the street in between certain scenes talking about the subject of the episode, and you're like, this is so weird, but that stops.
Yeah so it's really interesting. And then the movies were great too, but
yeah, it's just a good like bingeable light show to watch before bed, you know.
Totally.
So watching that, enjoying that, it still weirdly holds up. Like it's still
it's like Friends
relevant.
It's great.
Yeah And then I'm currently listening to, I am currently obsessed with the new song Breakups by Seaforth. It is an absolute bop. Their harmonies are insane. They're both super hot and have great accents. So highly recommend.
I do have one viral moment wrap up. Friends, if you have not seen Dan and Shay's mashup of Tequila on TikTok, you need to watch it. Because a fan was drunk and sent in drunk audio of her singing Tequila to their official Instagram. They took the audio and made a TikTok of it.
Oh boy.
So it's entertaining. Just watch it. It's fantastic. And don't make bad decisions and direct message your favorite artist.
Yeah. Unless you're ready for that to go public on the internet.
Viral.
Okay. Well, thanks for tuning in, you guys. Don't forget, wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe to The Music Buzz, leave us a review, and go follow us on Instagram at MusicBuzzPod.
Drop a microphone in our comments. We'd love to know you listen.
Love it. Stay buzzed out there, you guys.
Rough year. And deal with that.
Love you. Mean it. Bye.
Bye.